is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The American economy, wartime, two-front war. The announcements these last hours are promising, at the same time worrying. Mr. Putin of the Russian Federation at war in Europe is traveling outside of his country for the first time in some months. He's traveling to Beijing to sit with Xi Jinping in these next hours and discuss their No Limits alliance at war in Europe. At the same time, Secretary Guterres of the UN is on his way to Cairo to discuss with President Sisi, perhaps opening the Sinai to evacuate the Gaza, now in conflict. At the same time, we have this surprise announcement from the White House within these last hours that the President of the United States will be traveling at the invitation of Prime Minister Netanyahu to Israel, to Jerusalem, in these next hours. And I also mentioned Olaf Scholz, the leader of the coalition in Berlin, traveling to Israel in these next hours. So a lot of motion and very difficult to read for the markets. But I welcome Liz Peek, who helps me understand the metrics of the American economy and global economy, all integrated in what appears to be a widening war with threats from Tehran, with threats from Beirut, with threats across the landscape. Liz, a very good evening to you. The one detail I had in these last days from the Wall Street Journal is that home sales are on track for the slowest year since the housing bust. That is logical from the rise of interest rates over these last years. Is that what the Federal Reserve is watching for? Some road sign that the economy is slowing down and therefore they can wait on the next hike for the best rates? Good evening to you, Liz.
Well, I don't think, good evening, John. I don't think they're just waiting for a sign of a slowdown. I think they're hoping for a sign of a slowdown. Look, housing is a very strange situation because, yes, buying a home is the least affordable it's been in, I think, what is it now, 40 years, maybe longer than that. Combination of high prices for homes, existing and new, and also mortgage rates, which are closing in on 8%. So, John, that's really a recipe for disaster as far as the housing industry is concerned. I just saw something come across from CNBC talking about home builder sentiment is the lowest it's been in 10 months. How could it not be? What's happening is it's a very odd combination of events. Because mortgage rates are so high, nobody wants to leave their home. If you're sitting in a house that you bought 5-10 years ago with a 3% mortgage or 4% mortgage, the last thing you want to do is try to move because you're going to lose that mortgage or you're going to have to pay substantially more. I looked at some numbers recently for the average carrying cost for a new house now, and it's like twice what it was just a few years ago. It's not the price, it's the mortgage rate. So this is really a very big deal for new families or families trying to buy a new home, people trying to move. Our housing market is at stalemate. And I don't really know how it's going to get better until interest rates come down. There are so many aspects of the economy right now, including the stock market, which are all sort of in stasis waiting for a decline in interest rates. And, you know, frankly, there isn't much push or there's not much expectation rates are going to come down anytime soon, short of a sudden and surprising downdraft in the economy. Today, we got a retail sales figure that was way better than expected. Consumers continued to spend strongly in September. Some of that may have been vacation travel during the summer and so forth. But the reality is the Fed is not getting what it wants, which is a clear signal that the economy is slowing, that unemployment is increasing. None of that is really happening. I mean, there are around the margin, there are lots of reasons why people have thought, including myself, that the consumer would begin to retrench. You have higher interest rates on credit card debt, and credit card debt is, as we know, at a record level. Rising delinquencies on lower income with lower income Americans defaulting in increasing numbers on auto loans and credit card debt. You've had some big retailers come out and say, hey, guys, this is not going to be a great holiday season. But so far, the numbers are not tracking with those comments, and they're not tracking with a savings rate, which is now, I think, in the last month, 3.5%, down, way down below historical levels, obviously down from the 30-plus rate of the pandemic months, but also much lower than, you know, the 5% or whatever it was earlier in this year. So you've got a lot of reasons to think that consumers should be pulling back, and yet they're not. So I think when the Fed meets, there's very little expectation they're going to raise rates in the Halloween, November 1 next meeting. But there is increasing expectation they might have to raise rates once again at the December meeting. And that really wasn't a factor. People really didn't see that coming several months ago. So now I just feel like this this slowdown, recession, soft landing, hard landing, whatever, until we get better visibility on that, the Fed isn't going to really know what to do. We're not going to know what the Fed's going to do. And really, markets just are sort of on a holding pattern, I think, till there's greater visibility. Obviously, you're getting spikes up and down because of the war news, which is always alarming. You have, as a result of the conflict in the Middle East now, a sort of knee-jerk reaction that oil prices went up. In fact, it's probably realistic that oil prices went up because the oil markets are pretty tight and this could make it worse. You know, if the United States actually decides to enforce sanctions on Iran, you're going to see Iranian exports begin to decline. That's been a big boon to Iranian revenues, maybe $50, $60 billion a year incremental revenues, because the Biden administration has simply looked the other way and allowed exports of oil to go up. Should they decide to clamp down on that, the oil markets are going to certainly respond. But, you know, right now, the U.S. economy remains pretty strong. And you know, that's sort of foiling the end of seeing any resolution to all this uncertainty, which is not, you know, been sort of tough for investors.
You bring to my attention the summary of Fed meeting minutes from earlier this month, 10-11. This is the Kobayashi letter. And I note, all officials agreed rates should stay restrictive. Fed sees downside risk to economic activity. Fed sees upside risk to unemployment. Inflation remains unacceptably high. All hawkish remarks. And yet I come to the Atlanta Fed that publishes daily the GDP now third quarter. Liz, we're powering through this. It's 5.1. Yeah. Yesterday it was 4.8. I thought, oh, well, good, it's dropping, so I can tell Liz. No, it went back up. Now, there is no model that I've found that can explain this. With higher rates, with housing dropping off, and yet the economy bursts forward. What does it mean?
Well, I do think we're still being affected. I think there still is some overhang from the incredible wash of money that flowed during the pandemic from the federal government. I don't think that's totally wrung out of the system. Also, people, obviously you and I are perplexed about this, but if the Fed's perplexed about it, it does make you kind of think you're in good company. I think another possible answer has been raised lately, which is that the baby boomer generation is sitting on a lot of wealth. We know that's true. And boomers are spending money, and that's really a big reason why, for example, spending on travel and entertainment is especially strong. Those were activities that were kind of shut down by the pandemic. And for baby boomers, that's what you're spending money on. People don't need another cashmere sweater. They need to go to the Taylor Swift movie or, you know, travel to London or whatever. That is, you know, that's been a trend well underway, the so-called experience traveling. And we did see that in the September numbers. So there's some credence, I think, to the fact that, yeah, young people are kind of in a bind right now. Lower income Americans are not doing terribly well. We know real wages went down for a long time. Only in the last couple of months have they actually turned higher again. But for boomers, you know, there isn't really much restraint. So maybe that's the answer. It sure is, as you would say, John, it sure is a puzzle. And it's especially a puzzle to our monetary authorities who are really trying to get us to the other side of this interest rates splurge here, because this is really not good for anybody.
There are two Fed meetings left in the calendar year 23. There is superstition that you don't raise rates in an election year. Are we looking to bust that superstition here, Liz?
Well, they won't. Of course, it won't technically be an election year. I guess maybe they would consider that next year. But you know, we'll see. I think the Fed is pleased to see that long rates are going up. You know, for a long time it was the short term. Right. We had a very steeply inverted yield curve with short term rates way above long term rates. That has begun to level out some, and one explanation for that, I think, is that the federal deficit is gigantic, way more than anybody expected, closing in on $2 trillion in the year that just ended. That means an awful lot of borrowing by the Fed. That probably has some impact on where long rates are going, and that is taking a little pressure off the Fed. So if that continues, my guess is we'll see the Fed not raise rates in December. I think they'd like to get on the other side of that.
Yes, they can stand pat if those rates continue to rise. We're going to turn to politics next, because Liz has an important piece up at Fox News, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, about Jimmy Carter, once upon a time facing a situation very different from what we're looking right now. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.